Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You want to see loco?
Give it all you got.
We're going to give it all we got. Give hi.
Hello.
Hola. It's a Friday headed into a long holiday weekend. Things are reopening. Feels good. I feel much better this Friday than I have in a lot of other Fridays where it's just like the same monotony is awaiting you on the other side of the show. There's a long weekend. Restaurants are reopening. You know, capacity will be limited, but I know like in Boca, say at Meisner Park, they've turn the streets away from traffic, and so now there's more outdoor seating, and I don't know. I think I'm gonna head out this weekend, and I feel like this feels like a holiday weekend. Are you feeling that, Crowder?
Yeah, I am. Seeing all the reports, and I know like the Hollywood Walk down the beach where they had the bike path, they're turning that into seating, so their bikes can't go. Now they're putting tables outside and all, so me and my wife were talking about it, you know, her being pregnant 9 months, you know, damn near she's due. We're going to play it safe. But I'm telling you, once we figured out, because I didn't know till y'all told me yesterday this was a holiday weekend, I lost track of everything. Once I figured that out, bro, I was like, yeah, man, it feels a little different. I got a little pep in my step this morning.
Yeah, that's the X factor, though. She is 9 months pregnant, so yeah. I wouldn't be going out either. I don't think my wife and I could be pregnant, even no matter how hard we try. I don't
Man, think that wiggle worm still wiggling, baby.
I just don't think it's biologically possible. Shooting blanks. This hour is brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. There is some sports action this weekend. Do you know that this Sunday is the Tiger, Phil, and Brady Manning golf match?
Yes, and I will watch it.
This is great. So I was reading Golf Magazine, golf.com online, and so it's 3:00 Sunday on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HLN. And it's happening from Medalist Golf Club in Hobe Sound here in Florida. And they gave you 15 reasons to watch. Real quickly, here's why you should watch Sunday. What about you, Solana? You watch golf at all? You watch the Masters, I'm sure. But will you watch this on Sunday?
I didn't even know that there was a Peyton and Tom Brady game. I think I will now. Like Tiger Phil, I'm kind of over it. But
right,
Peyton,
we
Brady,
saw that. Yeah, this is great because it's who? So I think Tiger is matched with... Tiger is matched with Peyton Manning. Phil Mickelson huh? is matched. Phil Mickelson is matched with Tom Brady.
They called him Phil Mackelson back in college.
Let me tell you a little something about Mackelson. Yeah, you take your Mickelson because I got Phil Mackelson.
I love the twosome of Tiger and Peyton. Way more conversation, way more personality. I want to watch that. I want to get a camera. I need that camera.
Well, there's a couple of things at play here to me. Like Peyton, he's really good with that sardonic wit, right? Like he's perfect. Brady is making an effort to come. He's trying to redefine himself. And I think he's going to use this match on Sunday to do that. Like, I think he wants the world to know, like, I am not the Tom Brady that is bound by the Bill Belichickian rules. I'm riding with, what's that coach's name in Tampa? Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
I'm riding with Bruce Arians and the Kangol hat. Like, it's a whole different Tom Brady.
I hope so, man, because, you know, if you want to come out your shell and you come out your shell and you haven't came out your shell in 20 years, you don't know what it's like out of your shell. I don't know if he has it in him.
I think he does. I think you're going to be – so Sunday, 3 o'clock, I'm going to be watching this. So here's 15 reasons to watch. Number one, the competition, Tiger and Manning versus Phil and Brady. Obviously, you can't get much better than that. Number two, the format. And this I didn't know. Let's be honest. 18 holes of a four ball would be boring. 9 holes will take it. So it's a 9-hole tournament, especially since the back nine, in this writer's opinion, golf.com, will be a lot more fun with a modified alternate shot. The simmering pressure of an alternate shot for average Joes like Manning and Brady, dealing with the anxiety of potentially letting your partner down, will be real. The results will be fascinating. Number three, the challenges. There will be a handful of these, although not all of them have been announced yet. There's already been reports that one sounds like a lot of fun. According to Yahoo Sports, all four golfers will play the par four fifth hole with one club, a la a one club challenge. Number four, the betting. FanDuel said betting for last Sunday's Seminole Skins tournament match was nearly double that of a normal PGA Tour event. That's nuts and proves people are eager to throw down a few bucks on live sports. This Sunday, an event with an even bigger star will almost certainly bring in a bigger audience. You should see a betting increase. We're going to be betting this on Sunday, just so you're aware. Number five, it's for a good cause. A total of $10 million will be donated to COVID-19 relief. Number six, the broadcast team. It's Brian Anderson hosting, Trevor Immelman, and Charles Barkley are the analysts. So there you go. There's a reason to watch. I mean, come on. You know, yes. Barkley's going to chop it up with Tiger and Brady like that. I mean, that is so perfectly made, right?
I love it because Charles, we've watched him play golf. He's terrible. Yeah. He's not good at golf. He knows nothing about golf. So now Charles is just going to be an entertainer, and I will eat it up.
Number seven, the course. Medalist is an exclusive club that many pro golfers call home. It's also a place few fans have ever seen, both inside the gates and on the course. Now you'll get a chance. Greg Norman founded the club in 1995. And it says, oh, it's very difficult. Good luck, Peyton and Tom. Number eight, the members. Few clubs, if any, have more pros as members than medalist, which includes Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, more than a dozen others. Number nine reason to watch this event on Sunday, Tiger Woods. No need to elaborate. Number 10, Phil Mickelson, see above. Number 11, Tom Brady. Even Patriots fans will watch and perhaps cry. He has an 8.1 handicap, by the way. Number 12, Peyton Manning. The Augusta National member holds a 6.4 handicap and loves to antagonize. This should be a perfect setting for him. Number 13, it'll be better than the first match. Obviously, the first match between Tiger and Phil was fun, but it didn't have the Brady and Manning element. Number 14, the entertainment, the trash talk, and number 15, what else is there to watch? And they write, good point, see you on Sunday.
Yes.
So Sunday, we got some betting action, we got some sports, some trash talk. I think it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to this.
I like it. The gambling part, too, I'm with you. If you didn't say we were gambling, I was going to dive on you because I'm going to watch. Why not put a little money down? But the thing I like the most, honestly, and I think it was number three or four, I like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, Hall of Famers. Everybody respects them. King of the NFL, ran the NFL for decades. Now they're the weak link. Now, like Tiger and Mickelson are going to be praying when it's their shot.
Yes.
I love this concept of having the best of the best play with amateurs that are the best of the best at something. I am excited about Sunday.
Somebody texts in, Barkley commentating on golf is like Hawk calling a math competition. So true.
Yes. And so you know what? True. The outcome would be the same because you'd get into Girl Scout cookie.
I would. I would do it gleefully. Am I still there, Solana?
Yeah, you're still here.
Did we lose Crowder?
It sounds like we did.
Oh, we lost our friend Channing Crowder. I didn't know if it was me or him. All right, let's do headlines then. Here's headlines with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
This is weird because I'm prepared for you crapping out because of your internet. I am not prepared for Crowder to...
Crowder says his computer froze.
Man. Guess we're going to have to come up for a game with a game for you, Hawk. Long time Utah.
I'm pretty good at this. This isn't you and Crowder being stuck without me.
Nah.
Like, I'm okay, buddy.
We need some sort of plan.
Yeah, I'm good. Doug Plagans was good. I'm good. We got it.
Long time Utah Jazz coach and Hall of Famer Jerry Sloan. He passed away today at 78 years old.
I have received so many condolences via Twitter on Jerry Sloan's passing. And it's because years ago when I was on the Lebatard show, I invented the looks like game. I said Jerry Sloan looks like he washes his hair with a bar of ivory soap. That was for years what I maintained. Now, Jerry Sloan meant a lot to me because he played for the Bulls when I was a kid and even before I was alive. And then he was head coach of the Chicago Bulls when my dad had season tickets. So loved Jerry Sloan and then became this bit that I would do on Lebatard show. And John Crotty, who played for Sloan, got me an autographed picture that hangs in my closet. So a very sad day for basketball fans.
The NHL Players Association Executive Board is voting on a 2014 playoff proposal as the official return-to-play format. Results are expected by tonight.
All right.
Patriots owner Robert Kraft, his Super Bowl ring was auctioned off for over $1 million.
Why was it? Was it for charity?
Yeah, proceeds going to the All In Challenge. It's a digital fundraiser to feed people in the U.S. struggling during the coronavirus pandemic.
All right.
Tom Brady, he did release, the trailer for an upcoming documentary on his life and career. It's called Man in the Arena. It'll be released on ESPN in 2021.
Okay. Is that the nine-part series that ESPN is doing?
Yes.
All right.
NFL owners will vote on a rule change that would allow a 4th-and-15 onside kick alternative.
I love that. XFL did that. You remember?
Yeah.
That was one of the XFL rules. I love that. Instead of an onside kick, you'd have to convert. You could only do it up to twice a game. You have to convert a 4th-and-15 from like your own 20, something like that. So obviously if you don't convert it, the ball changes hands to your opponent. I love it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. 4th-and-15 play from your own 25-yard line. If you get the 15 yards, you get a first down, you keep possession of the ball. If you don't get the 15 yards, the other team takes possession from wherever the ball was last.
Absolutely love it.
NASCAR's next race is Sunday. It's the Coca-Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina.
All right.
Finally, Kellogg's is releasing a new cereal called Mashups. It's a mixture of two of their cereals. The first edition will be Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops.
Yeah, I saw that. People are going crazy about that on Twitter. Not my thing, but that's fine.
You don't mix cereals, Hawk?
No, I do not. Well, I told you, I don't eat cereals anymore because I can't tolerate milk like I used to.
Got to try almond milk, man. I've been telling you for months.
I know. Everyone, when I said that on the show the other day, a whole bunch of people texted me. It was like oat milk and almond milk, all these different derivatives. It's not even that I can't. I don't know. I used to live on cereal. Absolutely love cereal. Just Right was my cereal of choice. I would go through a box or two of Just Right. I loved it. And I found that my stomach was always gurgling. So it has to be, 10 years ago, I cut out cereal. It pains me because my kid still eats a ton of cereal. But I don't know. Maybe I'll dip my toe back in for a mashup. I don't know.
I'm telling you, vanilla flavored almond milk is a game changer. Tastes like regular milk, and it's not going to give you the stomach issues.
I think I've had almond milk, and I don't think it did taste like regular milk, which is why I never drank it again.
Vanilla flavored, though. That's what you have to get. Because if you're just getting plain old almond milk, yeah, it tastes kind of bland, tastes like water, kind of gross. Vanilla flavored almond milk, that's the game changer.
All right. Anything else?
Weather right now in Miami, partly cloudy, 82 degrees currently in Miami. Tonight, the lows will drop into the upper 70s across South Florida. Right now, at least for Miami, a nice sunny day, despite some clouds. That is your weather.
All right. We have a loaded potato for you on this Friday, heading into a holiday weekend. Adam Beasley is going to join us. We're going to talk a little Miami Dolphins with him. Of course, Jay Figg and Dan Day will hop on for the movie reviews, our week in review montage. We will, of course, go into the archives. Something happened yesterday on the show during the 5 o'clock headlines that if you missed, you're going to delight in. We'll get to that. So a ton to get to.
Hello?
We'll take look at that. And Crowder's back, too. So anyway, that is my entire monologue on why LeBron never lies and is the most honest person on the planet. We'll take a quick break. Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald is next on Hochman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Friday, heading into a long weekend, a little holiday weekend, actually feels like a holiday weekend. Things are opening. Going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline here. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Adam Beasley, he covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald, friend of the program, and he is joining us now. Hello, Beasley.
Gentlemen, how you been?
Are you going to go out this weekend, you think? You'll go to a restaurant? Will you start to emerge?
Well, yes and no. All right, I'm going to play Jacaranda on Sunday. I've played golf already once since they reopened. I'm kind of nervous about going inside a restaurant if I can convince Mrs. Beasley to sit at like an outdoor terrace.
Yes, I agree.
I think that would be a good compromise, but I'm a little wary of going into an enclosed space still.
Yeah, I like the thought of eating outside. We were talking earlier, like Meisner Park. They got rid of the traffic on the exterior streets there, so there's more outdoor seating. You're not going to watch the Peyton Manning Tom Brady golf extravaganza on Sunday? Are
yeah,
you
my tee time is at 10:30. I'll be done by 3, and I can watch the back nine with a cold gin and tonic. It sounds like a pretty solid Sunday.
Hey, Bees, are the golf courses? I know it's spread out. You know, you have a foursome at the most, but are the golf courses, have they changed at all? Because I'm ready to go golfing.
Oh, you haven't played yet?
No, I haven't played since they opened.
Come play Jacaranda with us on Sunday, man. It's going to be a blast.
Dude, you know what? I'll hit you up, bro. I'll see if the wife – well, let's full disclosure. Let me ask the wife, and then I'll call you and let you know.
You got to know who else is in his foursome, too. I mean, you know, a guy like Channing Crowder can't be out with Adam Beasley and, I don't know, Charles Bricker. Like, there's got to be
no, I don't
know. Wow.
I mean, who are you golfing with? Is it a big time writing crew?
We got some friends. We got two threesomes. We could always have room for more if you want to play as well, Hawk. I hear you're about a 7 handicap.
I've never swung a golf club on a course. I've been to a driving range, but I've never played golf.
I've asked Hawk to do everything outdoors with me possible, and he's declined. I'm talking about going on 5 years. He's declined to golf, to fish, to bird watch, to walk the dogs. He's declined.
Beasley invited me to a virtual cocktail hour a couple of weeks ago, and I declined that as well.
if there's ever a guy that needs SPF 3000, it's Hawk. So it's probably good for him to do indoor activities.
Yeah, I'm all – invite me to a mall. Who wants to invite me to a mall? Let's go. Adam Beasley.
I can see you having mall walking shoes, too. Is that true, Hawk?
Oh, I am going to be exercising in the mall. I mean, that is my – I'm cut out for this pandemic stuff. I don't have to see anybody and – grab a couple laps at the mall. Gotta hit the Macy's, the Nordstrom, and call it a day.
To answer your question, Channing, yes, it is socially distanced. Everyone can get their own cart if they wish. You don't even get to touch the pin. They're the little pool noodles that are dug into the cup, so your ball doesn't even actually go the whole way down. There's strict restrictions on the cart girls. I mean, there's a lot of rules in place. So they're taking care of you. I feel very safe there. I play with guys I know. I know they're not out doing some nonsense. So if you have a group you trust, it's certainly a good pandemic activity.
One quick follow-up. Are any of them police?
No.
I'm in. I'll text you when I talk to my wife then. We need to know exactly what's going on.
I feel like you and I are both on about the same level of live and let live, so no, there are no police involved.
Hey, didn't both of you hit a hole in one in your careers? That was you, right, Beasley?
Yeah, are we recycling old material already? Has it reached that stage?
No, pandemic? I totally forgot that we brought you on to celebrate your hole in one. And then Crowder kind of crapped on it by saying that he had hit one.
Then months later, when I had forgotten to credit you, you even said, and we brought you in to discuss your hole in one, and this is how you did us dirty. So
yeah, because Crowder even mentioned this week, right? Because Barry Jackson wrote something. Dr. Julio Frank was on CNN, and it started to go viral because Tim Reynolds wrote something about it. And Barry Jackson tweeted out and credited Hockman and Crowder because Julio Frank had been on our show, and Crowder even mentioned earlier this week, we want to give a shout out to Barry Jackson. Unlike our guy, Adam Beasley, gave us some credit.
Well, the thing is that Barry and I, when we break news, we usually do it in tandem. There'll be a co-byline, so you can just do right by the Herald and still stick the knife in me by crediting Barry Jackson, but not me. I think that's the way to do it.
Fair enough. Speaking of the Miami Herald, Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Herald. So there was a virtual media session yesterday, I guess. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick was one of the availabilities. Did he say anything that was super interesting to you?
You know, it's not like he didn't make a ton of news, but it's not like he is rushing to get back on the football field in a number of ways. One, we asked him if he's passing. He's like, oh, no, I don't do that in the offseason. I don't throw to people. I wait until the organized team activities and mini camps and training camps. So while you see a bunch of these Dolphins players out there running routes, catching punts, I know there's an offensive line camp out in Arizona that the Dolphins have a handful of guys participating in. Fitzy is taking it easy. And I think if you remember the video that he had, the first off-season program when he was running sprints and he looked a little bit like Santa Claus running, my guess is he might be a few biscuits heavy right now, living the life in Arizona. He is in for a rude awakening when he returns to South Florida and is going to have to run gassers. I think he might be a bit heavy right now, but again, that's Fitz. That's what he's been his entire career. He doesn't do a ton in the off-season, and he still manages to throw the football well. But what was fascinating to me, guys, was this, is that all these guys want to play. Certainly Fitz does. He's at the end of his career. He doesn't know how many more years he has left. But they're not going to put themselves at risk unless the doctors say, hey, this is safe. And that's what he says. Like, we have to let the experts drive the conversation. We can't be so eager to get back on the football field that we put ourselves at risk. And that's indicative of a smart guy, obviously. Ivy League educated and all that. He's a smart guy. So I think that's something to watch. You've heard some Dolphins players say, hey, I don't care where or when, put me on the field, I'm going to play. And you've heard others like Devon Godshall and the Sun Sentinel and Fitz yesterday voicing some concern. Not, hey, I'm not going to play, I don't want to play, but let's be smart here. Let's be safe. And I think that there is going to have to be some level of conversation between the league and the players union as we get close to late July. And keep in mind, we're only 2 months off from the start of training camp now, which is crazy. I mean, we're like 8 weeks away from camp starting. So the decision has to be made in the next 5-6 weeks whether this is going to start on time. And guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he's not the union rep, he is a thoughtful, outspoken member of the Players Association. They're going to raise some concerns if they don't feel like the league is taking enough steps to put them that puts their health at risk. You're going to hear some pushback, and you're going to hear some guys saying, "You know what? Not yet. Maybe another month. We can see what's going on." So those are conversations that I'm sure have been going on for weeks now between the NFL and the NFLPA. But to hear, I mean, the starting quarterback, obviously the most veteran player on the team, voice a degree of concern. Not saying he's not going to play, but let's make sure the science is right on this. It was pretty eye-opening.
And B's about Fitzy and the Tua, you know, Fitzpatrick, Tua relationship, I guess. Fitzy was saying he's there for him. He's excited he's coming. He's going to do everything to help the young kid. And I was saying yesterday, B's, with Fitzpatrick, you don't have to lie to him. You don't have to say, this is your job to lose. You know, go out there and, you know, you're the starter until whatever. Like, has Brian Flores, you think with Fitzy, they have the conversation where, hey, develop this young guy. You know we're bringing him in to be the franchise guy. Work with us. You have 1 year left in your contract. Are they honest with Fitzy when they're talking about the Fitzy Tua transition?
I'm sure they have been, but they don't have to be. Because we talked about he's a smart guy, he knows what the score is. He knows what the situation with this team is, that he's not going to be their quarterback in 2021. I think that's the safest bet. Unless they go and win the Super Bowl this year, Ryan Fitzpatrick will not be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in 2021. You don't draft a guy fifth overall to have him sit for two seasons. It's just not going to happen. So he knows, and he's fine with it. And honestly, he's known since the day he announced he was coming back in January, when he decided to play in 2020, that it was going to be probably his last dance in Miami and perhaps in the National Football League. So he's not going to back down. He's not going to defer it to him. He's going to want to do whatever he can to play this last year. And I think he believes as a team that's in position to win. I think there is a different reason, because we were all wondering at the end of the last season, is Fitz going to come back next year? Why isn't he announced he's returning and all that? And we didn't learn until about 3-4 weeks after the season, I think around the Super Bowl, that he was for sure coming back. I think it was more of a function of some dysfunction in that offensive coach's room. I think we wrote this week about how Chad O'Shea was fired because of one player called it a bleep show, that things were really going sideways in there. The scheme was too hard for the players, for the youngest team in the National Football League, and O'Shea wasn't the best communicator of that scheme, and sometimes there was some finger pointing and all that behind the scenes. My guess is, and again, we would have to talk to Fitz in depth about this to get the true answer, but he might have been thinking, hey, I don't want to come back to a situation where I'm set up to fail, where I'm going to have to essentially call the plays because our offensive coordinator is not doing his job. And again, we found out over the course of the last couple of months what was going on last season. And knowing that, guys, to me, it's kind of wild they were as good as they were. Because usually you can get away with bad talent or you can get away with a bad coaching. You can't get away with both. I mean, last year the Dolphins were talent deficient and they had coaching issues. No better evidence of that is the fact that like 3/4 of the staff's been turned over, including a lot on the offensive side of the ball. So the fact that they were able to win 5 games last year with a roster that we all thought was really, really bad, and they won in Foxborough, no less, I think that's a testament to how well Fitzpatrick played last year and how he kept that team together. And certainly Flores, you know, from a leadership standpoint, kept that team together. But X's and O's, you can't be as bad as it sounds like they were last year and win 5 games, and somehow they did.
Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. We'd be remiss talking about quarterbacks if we didn't mention Josh Rosen, whose name emerged in the news this week. Apparently they've taken some phone calls on him. What is the deal with Josh Rosen and his future with the Dolphins?
Like any player not named Tua, if the price is right, he's available. I mean, if a team wants to give the Dolphins a third or a fourth round pick for 2 years of Josh Rosen, I'm sure that deal will get done. My guess is that offer has not been made and it won't be made, because he hasn't proven he's worth that at this stage in his career. But I don't think the Dolphins are in a rush to trade him either. People are saying, well, wait, you've got Tua, you've got Fitz. How does Rosen fit in? Well, in a couple of ways. One, he's really, really cheap. I mean, even by number three quarterback standards, he's not very expensive. He's only cost them $2 million this year. And Barry actually made a pretty good point in the newspaper today that, look, we discussed coronavirus and the unknowns. If your starting quarterback gets a positive test on Saturday, he's not playing on Sunday, and then you're really out of luck. It's not like with injuries, you know these throughout the course of the week. Well, this guy's at this point. We think he's got a 90% chance of playing. We don't need to make a roster move. It could be something as simple as you know, he pitches asymptomatic all week, Saturday night, and he gets his test, and it's a positive. He's not playing, and all of a sudden, you've got one quarterback. And that quarterback, by the way, is a rookie who may have never taken a snap in the league before. So I think you're going to see a lot of teams keep three quarterbacks for that reason. So, yeah, I think Josh Rosen's going to be on this team this year, unless the team really blows them away. And if he does well this year, if he shows that he's picked up Chan Gailey's offense and he's dependable, he's got a job here in 2021 as Tua's backup. He might not love that prospect. He might want to go and try to go to a place where he can start. But, again, he's in no position at this stage in his career to be making demands. He's had two chances now to win the starting job for two different teams and has failed both times. You usually don't get a third chance without showing a great deal of improvement. So I think this is going to be a Josh work on Josh season. You probably won't see him play a down, but I could see him being here all 17 weeks just out of necessity.
And Bees, I saw you on Twitter talking about the Devontae Parker, Michael Thomas, I don't know, Twitter argument. I don't even know what to call it. But you ended it by saying who's right. So I'm going to ask you, Bees, who is right between Devontae and Michael with their little Twitter debate?
Oh, well, Devontae is right that he's not getting the targets that Michael Thomas gets. I mean, Thomas gets like 50% more targets per season. They threw the ball to him 180-some-odd times this year. That is incredible. That's like they throw the ball to him like 11 times a game. That's nuts. There are entire months that Devontae didn't see the ball 11 times, certainly under the Gase era. So, yeah, a lot of what Michael Thomas does is volume-driven and Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to him-driven. Drew Brees is a difference maker, obviously. But I will say this, Michael Thomas is still really good. He still has led the league in receiving yards over the course of the last three seasons. Every time he's been on the field, he's been really good. So I don't think Devontae meant to take a shot at Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas has got a little bit of a thin skin, and it kind of escalated. But if you're asking me if I'm drafting a team, who do I take? I take the guy that's a three-time Pro Bowler, not a guy that had one really good year, but the other 4 years of his career have been up and down.
But Devontae was not taking a shot. All he wrote was A.
He was taking a shot. He picked Stephon
over Mike. All he did was type the first letter of the alphabet, and then it became this huge Instagram beef. But do you think, Bees, that Brian Flores was annoyed by it? Because I know Bill Belichick would have been, but if you give it context, all Devontae Parker was doing was answering an Instagram poll.
I think more than anything, he may have been surprised because Devontae doesn't talk. I mean, it's not like some of these guys, like if Jakeem was mouthing off, that's one thing. He's a chatterbox. But Devontae's, he doesn't talk. Like, we've gone entire months without speaking to the dude. So, yeah, I think he may have been surprised more than anything. I think you're right. I think Brian could have seen the context. What he may say to Devontae is just let it go, man. You're not going to, you know, you wrestle with a pig, you both get muddy, essentially. Like, you're not going to win a debate like that. I know you're a very, very good player. You should have gone to the Pro Bowl last year. You're one of the, and this is true, by the way. He's one of the best deep threats in the National Football League. There's no debate about that. I mean, he's averaging like 13.5 yards a catch over the last couple of years. He is a very good deep threat. If he rounds out the other parts of the game, he's going to be a top five receiver in this league. But yeah, I think Flores might not be irritated. He just might be like, "What's the point? You're not going to win here. Just move on."
And B, so you brought up Jakeem Grant. I had a Grant question because on Twitter, and I saw that you retweeted, I believe, Jakeem put a, you know, a little training video out there, but he quoted it by saying, "Held back last year, but not this year. I am a receiver." What is Jakeem insinuating with that quote?
Well, he didn't get a ton of reps when he was healthy. I mean, again, Jakeem's got to stay healthy. That's the knock on him. 2 years now in a row, he hasn't been able to finish the season. He was buried behind a bunch of guys that he thinks that he's probably just as good as, and he's going to win that time. He's going to go out there and force the Dolphins to play him. I will say this, he's starting from behind right now. People who have talked to the Dolphins about their plans tell me that they're counting on Devontae, Preston Williams coming back from that knee, being their outside receivers, and Albert Wilson being their slot. So Jakeem is going to have to get ahead of somebody to make that, to back up that big talk. If there's one thing that Brian Flores loves, it's competitiveness, as long as it doesn't hurt the team. and the guy that held him back is no longer there, right? I mean, it's not like he's taking shots at O'Shea, and O'Shea's still the OC. He's gone. So, again, I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating that the guy comes out and says, hey, I should have been playing more last year. But, you know, I don't think the coach has got a major issue with it just because the people involved are no longer here.
Yeah, Beasley, you brought up Parker and Williams, and I'm hoping Preston comes back because that little stretch he had was impressive. But Parker's Williams, Albert Wilson, I think he's better than Jakeem. Gesicki, if he's – I don't think Jakeem Grant should take targets away from Gesicki either. I don't know if Jakeem Grant is better than Allen Hurns. Like, does Jakeem deserve more targets?
He's got to earn them. I mean, here's the thing about Jakeem is that if you get him in open space, you're not going to catch him. So they have to find ways to do that. And certainly he has to catch the ball when they throw it to him. I mean, he dropped a touchdown from Rosen, I think was the Cowboys game, so he's got to catch the football too. But it's not like, especially after when Preston got hurt last year, I thought Jakeem was going to play a lot more, and he didn't. They were going to guys like Hurns and the like, so that'll be interesting to me. But I will say this. There's a reason they didn't draft a wide receiver this year. It's because they really like their depth that they have. They think they've got four or five guys that would start on most teams on their team right now, and that's a good position to be in. You mentioned Hurns. They gave Hurns a contract at the end of last year to keep him here, and right now he's their number four, if not number five guy. That's how teams get better. That's how you build a culture of winning and competitiveness. And when a guy goes out, if Devontae had gotten hurt at the end of last year, they would have had nobody to throw the football to other than Gesicki. That's not going to be the case this year. They're going to have a lot of options. And so I think Jakeem sees that. He's worried about, hey, am I going to even have a shot if there's these many guys out there? So he's going to do everything he can to force their hand. He's in excellent shape from what I hear, Grant, that is. He's taking this offseason really seriously. And I'm excited to see what this offense can look like. I'm excited what this team can look like. I think people are sleeping on them. Everybody outside of this market says this is a six-win team. I don't see it. I think that the AFC East is wide open. I don't think the Dolphins are going to win it, but I think they're going to play meaningful December games, which a year ago September, you were like, we would take playing meaningful September games. Like, just be competitive. And I think they've improved that much in the last year or so that you're going to see them make some noise. And their depth of wide receivers are a reason why.
Yep, I totally agree with you. Real quick, Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can read his work, miamiherald.com. You're our golf expert as well because you're into golf. Who do you got? Because we're going to put some money this Sunday. So Tiger and Peyton are minus 200 to win the match. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady are plus 175. So the favorites are obviously Tiger and Peyton. Is that who you see winning?
See, I mean, the all-spinal team worries me. I mean, one of those guys has to remove their neck, right?
The all-spinal team. Excellent. You even get a sound effect, Beasley.
I'll take it.
All guests get a rim shot on the way out. That sounded dirty.
Yeah, no, I'll take Phil. Phil's a gamer. You know, you look at their head-to-head when they play. I mean, Phil played head-to-head with Tiger last year and toyed with him. Yeah. Phil had a chance to make Tiger putt a 6 or 7 footer to push an extra hole, and he gave it to him because he wanted to beat him outright, and he did. So Tiger is obviously the best player of all time. He's an incredible golfer. But in these head-to-heads, Tiger hasn't been great. Certainly his Ryder Cup record hasn't been fantastic. I'm taking Phil and Brady. At least he can move his neck. I'm really worried about Peyton Manning making it through 18 holes without collapsing.
There you go. Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Thank you, Bees.
See you guys.
There you go. Adam Beasley went long. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
And every now and then, that age difference between me and everybody else on the show creeps up. I just made an Ely Nastasi joke during the commercial break, met with dead silence by Crowder and Solana. And all I said was that. I said, that joke would have killed in 81, man. Ely Nastasi, that's funny. I don't care what anybody says. Text in Rick. Come on. Rick and Davey, let's go. That bleep's funny, Ely Nastasi.
You can't stand Rick. Don't reach out for Rick to help you. You cuss out Rick every time he comes to the show. Leave Rick
alone. Love Rick and Davey. Stop it. Love Rick and Davey. So this golf thing, we were just talking with Beasley about it. We talked about it in the first segment. 3 o'clock TNT. So the favorites, heavy favorites, are Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. But there's a whole bunch of
prop bets that we can bet on Sunday. I'm just looking through some of these. Who will record the most birdies, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady?
Brady.
Brady's plus 130. Manning's minus 150. Remember, Manning, what did I tell you in the first segment? I think Manning's got a 6 handicap and Brady was an 8, I think.
Yeah. And that's 2 shots off, you know, a lucky 3 right here or there. But my thing is that Brady's still in the middle of competitive killing, you know, training.
And, right.
And Manning's going around interviewing people, having a show, hanging out. Like, I think Brady still has that edge.
Love some of these prop bets. How many times will Tiger Woods twirl a club? How many curse words will be bleeped? How many commercials will Peyton Manning be in? I guess what the over-under is set at?
Is all of that. Is there an all option?
Over-under set at 2. I would go over on that. Over's minus 130, but I would go way over on that.
Over.
How many times will terrible be said by Charles Barkley?
Close to 10.
It's set at 2.5.
Oh, no. How long is this? Because they're only playing 9 holes, right?
Right. I think it's like 3 till 6, something like that. It starts at 3 because there's something else. Is there NASCAR tomorrow night or UFC or something? Because I know they specifically did it so it doesn't bleed into another show. You know, Solana?
I go over on the terrible.
I'm not sure. Yeah, terrible. Same.
Because like I said, what's Charles going to talk about? He doesn't know the course. He doesn't know how the green's laying. He doesn't know, you should use your 5 out of this rough. He doesn't know any of that stuff. He's going to just talk trap.
See what else we got here. Will video of Charles Barkley's swing be shown?
Guaranteed.
Yeah, yes is minus 1,000.
Okay, yeah. If they don't show that, the producers
are
terrible.
Man, I could watch that all day. Because you feel like... the video is buffering. Like, you feel like the video is, but it's just his actual swing. You've seen his golf swing, Solana?
Who, Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
Of course I've seen his golf swing. I mean, it's
amazing.
It's unbelievable.
He pauses halfway through it. He stops. Yeah. I've had a couple lessons. They never taught me that approach.
Who has who has worse golf analysis, I should say, though? Charles Barkley or Mark Hockman?
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
I think that's a legitimate question.
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
That's a legit question. How's the course playing? Now, as a matter of fact, makes no sense. But how's the course playing is not a bad question.
It was the point that I was making when I dropped out, last hour, I guess, earlier in this hour, is when he is going to be you. When we went down, where was that, at Doral?
That was a Trump Doral.
When we went to Doral and they kept bringing these random golfers over, and we were trying to talk to him, and you just heard an example of how it went. That is going to be Charles on Sunday. He doesn't know anything about it.
But that's not a bad question. How's the course playing? That's not a bad question.
It is a terrible question.
Why? That's not a bad question. That's a fair question. It's very important.
Fast, slow.
Right.
Playing nice. Right.
Well, it's a bad question because had he actually broken down how the course was playing, as a matter of fact, you'd have no rebuttal. You'd have no
analysis
to follow.
What would your first question have been to Daniel Berger, Solana?
You using a driver or putter today?
For what? For driving? I would imagine a driver. For putting, a putter. What would your first question have been, Crowder?
It was what my first question was in that interview. I was going to bro him to death. Hey, bro, so you from you from down here. Like, is it a little more pressure on you being a South Florida guy, big dog? You know what I'm saying, bro?
You had the luxury of being able to Google him. I didn't know he was from down here. All of a sudden, they go, yeah, this guy, they sit a guy down at our broadcast table, and then they, like, hand me a thing. His name is Daniel Berger. I'm like, well, what do I do here? Listen to the question again. It's not a bad question. As a matter of fact, it's cringeworthy because it's the first thing that I've said to him. And so there's no as a matter of facts when it's the first thing that you're saying to someone. That's cringeworthy. The question is good.
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
I like how I give him the identifier, professional golfer.
And knowing you and knowing how you, like, how you, you know, prepare and knowing how you have your questions ready for
I
you to say.
I never go into an interview like that. I never go into an interview without preparing. I always have, even if it's Adam Beasley, who we've talked to a million times, I always have everything prepared.
Yes. So to hear you be like, how is the course playing today, as a matter of fact? It's funny to me to hear it again now, because I could personally tell you had nothing set, and that's why I started Googling like a crazy person trying to get a damn question ready. Big Burger, what's up?
There was one thing I knew about him for sure. He's a professional golfer, and I let the world know.
Hey, you could bro him to death. I'll teach you how to bro somebody to death.
Play it one more time, Solana.
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
Oh, that's such a terrible end to that question. As a matter of fact. All right, we endeavor to take all the stations, Papa. It's got to get better than that over the next 3 hours, I hope. The Hockman and Crowder simulcast begins next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.